It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement, Hippocrates Wellness. Well, so good to have us all back together again, and our wonderful farmer friend, brilliant philosopher, and man who understands things at a deeper level than almost every other soil-bearing man I've known in my life, Henning, is back with us. And last week we spoke a lot about the history of farming. It wasn't until the mid-19th century, 1800s, that the Germans created the first synthetic nitrogen. And one of the many people that Henning learned from, not directly, because he was not born when this man passed in the 1920s, was Rudolf Steiner, who was a philosopher who connected that level of genius to the soil. And he said, by putting this German-created chemistry into the soil, we're depleting the soil. Not only is the plant becoming weaker, the animals that eat the plant become weaker, and ultimately the human being who eats the plant becomes weaker. And this is a crisis. This is 1920, we're talking about, people. That's more than a century ago, 1920. And he wrote a book about that. And Henning, much later, 20, 30 years later, reads that book. He had an inclination to become a farmer because the great thing that happened to him, he had birth by fire. He moved from Germany after the war. His family were upper middle class professionals, but after the war, there was no such thing. There was no social structure in Germany. They were all actually immigrants in their own country, and they had no food. On the farm that was abutting where they lived, with 9 children, 7 brothers and sisters and 2 cousins, Mom and Dad. Dad was an attorney. Grandpa was a doctor. They literally had to, the kids, follow after the farmer, and whatever he didn't use, they would take, and that's how they survived. Got on a boat, I assume, came to the United States, met an American there, and said, you know, if you go to the United States and work hard, you can become anything you want to be. And believe it or not, this is the only country in the world's history, the entire history, that is really, really, really true. As nice as Europe is, as great as many of these places are, the opportunities, there's a ceiling there. Here then, there wasn't a ceiling. But don't you know, here he is in the Midwest working in a meat factory, and 19 years old, realizes, oh my God, this is the stuff we're eating. This is the stuff Americans eating. Look at what they're doing. They're actually pumping extra water in it for the weight so they could sell this bloated carcass to the American public. And he knows that this is wrong, and had an inclination that I maybe want to be a farmer. I've got to grow my own food someday. But doesn't stop there. Gets his PhD at the University of Chicago. Is offered a position as a professor and a research scientist at the University of Washington. Moves out west and finally made the big jump in 1969. Purchased a farm on this beautiful, pristine, clean, wonderful, organic, call it an organic island, off the coast of Washington. And 1970, does it. He becomes a farmer. So now for more than 50 years, he's been a farmer, uses the German and extremely sophisticated methodology that's well beyond organic called biodynamics, where everything's recycled. There's a big circle. It's a circle of life. Remember the Lion King? Well, that's what they were talking about. Maybe you didn't get that. That there's not a bit of waste. Everything you do on that farm goes back for one thing, to strengthen, to feed that soil. And that soil, by the way, is filled with bacteria. And as we ended last week, we tied why this is so darn important for everyone listening and everyone on the planet Earth. Because that soil's bacteria, and that soil's minerals, and that soil's amino acids, proteins, literally make your body function. Your whole immune system, 80%, listen to what I'm saying, why you have cancer is you don't have a strong immune system. Why you die of viruses, you don't have a strong immune system. Why you die of bacteria, you don't have a strong immune system. Why you don't is you have a strong immune system. Nature and the universe literally, made the soil what makes that immune system. One step more. Now we're giving psychiatric drugs to people. There's hundreds and hundreds of psychiatric disorders that these psychiatrists, doctors, cannot prove. They're made up. Theology, philosophy. But what we now know, not because we think so, we know so, that 90% of your psychology, the way you think, your personality, comes from bacteria in the soil. It goes up the vagus nerve and turns on something called the serotonin receptor site. And if you don't have good, healthy bacteria in the soil. Now, those of you listening around the world, how many of you literally think that you're eating rich food from rich organic soil? Again, when they tested organic food at Stanford University, it's one of the top universities on the planet Earth, they actually showed that the organic food had no more nutrition in it than the commercial food. Now, I'm encouraging you to buy organic food because I don't want you to die of genetic modification. I don't want you to die of pesticides, fungicides, herbicides. Herbicides are directly linked to Parkinson's disease. I just counseled somebody today with that. But what I do want you to know is we've got to make a significant step forward for the survival of the human race, the well-being of the human race. And we have one of the leading authorities alive today, well into his 80s, on this subject. So Henning, talk to us more about what you've seen. You've been training people, teaching people for over half a century. When you bring these people from all over the country, these young people who you're training, the difference after a month or 2 months of eating that food on a biodynamic farm?
Well, there are many, many such examples. But let me first say something about Steiner's theory of nutrition. He actually thought that the most important organ of nutrition is not the digestive system in our stomach, but the digestive system in our brain.
Yes, yes.
Because he thought that we actually are nourished by all the energies, the life forces that come to us out of the cosmos. We absorb them through the sunshine. We absorb them through our skin. We absorb them through the air that we breathe. We even absorb them through our feelings,
yes,
through,
yes,
touching the world with our hands and our feet. But he says we're only able to absorb those energies if we have the receptors that are nourished properly. And the analogy that has always made clear to me what Steiner meant with this is sort of like a radio. You know, a radio can only receive the music that comes out of the ether if it's plugged into a power source.
That's
now,
right.
That power source can be faulty. And so if the electricity, the energy that comes into the radio does not energize the radio correctly, then you're going to get bad reception.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, if you tune that radio to junk inputs, then you're going to be fed junk inputs, and the results are going to be accordingly.
Yes.
In other words, to Steiner, true nutrition is what comes to us on a daily basis, all the time, through our senses, through our feelings, through our perceptions, through our thinking. But it's only possible if we are properly fed so that our receptors can function optimally.
Yes.
And he predicted that if people continue to farm the way the farmers in Eastern Germany and Prussia were farming, using the chemical methods, the synthetic methods, that it would take no more than one century for people to be able to think properly or to make important decisions, to live a meaningful life.
Yeah.
And frankly, what you just said about the mental pathologies in modern society are probably largely due to the kind of food inputs that you've described.
Yes.
That the food that we eat routinely today is basically deficient in life force.
We're being malnourished biologically, emotionally, and psychologically, as well as spiritually. The other interesting thing, you know this, but a lot of the listeners don't, the father of quantum physics, Max Planck, literally admired Steiner and quoted Steiner in many of his very, very elaborate, out-of-this-world descriptions of molecular science. and how everything goes down to a subatomic level, and even, as you know, called the string at this point. So can you imagine that the greatest minds of the day, Schoenberg, who was a naturalist at that point from Austria, basically helped Steiner develop little pods that water go through that turn the pods into a circular motion that mimics what Schoenberg saw in nature. He saw that waves had little vortexes in them, and rivers did, and waterfalls did, and there's not a water in the world. And these vortexes, they perceived, and now it's been proven in the 21st century, actually organize the structure of the water to energize the water. And we have those Steiner pods at Hippocrates Health Institute.
We use them, too, in applying so-called biodynamic sprays.
Yes.
And the biodynamic sprays are made from fermented plant material. Or very small quantities of the material is put into containers with water, and then we stir that water for an hour in a rhythmic fashion, creating vortices.
Yes, yes.
That mimic the vortices that you see in the air, in plant forms, in forms, let's say, of sea life.
Yeah, even hurricanes, tornadoes.
Hurricanes, you see them all over. Yeah. And so you imitate that by stirring out these fermented plant preparations, and then you sprinkle them in minute doses on the ground, whether it's your pasture or the soil in your garden. And over time, the soil improves by increasing the soil life that is stimulated by these inputs.
Isn't that amazing? So the electromagnetic charge and frequency of the universe ignites and enriches the soil. When we come back, we're going to speak so much more about this. This is a remarkable conversation. I'm sure people are going to want to know how to get in touch with you, and maybe some young, dedicated people who are serious, not just talk about the environment, serious about the future of the human race and the environment, may want to come and be your legacy. We're going to be right back.
How are you feeling? Wellness awaits you right here in West Palm Beach. Hippocrates Wellness Institute has been transforming lives for over 50 years. Located on 60 lush acres, the Hippocrates Wellness Institute can reverse chronic disease, help you lose weight, increase your longevity and immunity. Call for your consultation and tour today, 561-471-8876. That's 561-471-8876 for Hippocrates Wellness Institute. Now back to health, happiness, and healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian
and Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness, and we're here with Henning. And you know, you've written many books. Tell us about the books that you've written and that are so important for people now to read, because I think it's really urgent for people to realize about the soil.
Well, the latest two books that we have published, one of them I wrote together with my wife, Elizabeth Simpson. The other one is a volume of essays, 32 essays written, about half of them by myself and some of them by Elizabeth, and the other half by university scholars who came here to study what we're doing in terms of animal breeding and plant breeding and soil management and so on, and also economically, and also by learners, apprentices, and interns who came here, such as Brian
Blake.
Blake Clement, who was here for a summer.
Yes.
So the second book is called 50 Years of Biodynamic Farming, Essays from the Field. It was published this year. It's available online. You can simply Google the item. You can buy it from any local bookstore. They can order it for you, or you can buy it directly online.
So that, once again, Henning, that's 50 years of biodynamic farming,
essays from the field.
And is that both You and Elizabeth wrote that book?
No, I wrote that one.
Okay. So that's Henning, and last name is S-E-H-M-S. S-E-H-M-S-D-O-R-F. So you can Google that, and any bookstore can order that for you and get it online, too. And the book that you formerly did.
And then the other book that I'd like to recommend is one that Elizabeth, my wife, Elizabeth Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N, and myself wrote, and that's called Eating Locally and Seasonally, a community food book for Locust Island. In other words, we wrote that book specifically for our community, our island community, but it is a book that could benefit anyone who is interested in eating well and healthy food.
So let's talk a little bit. We've mentioned it. We touched on it. But here you are. You're probably going to live another 20, 25, 30 years. I believe so. I actually believe it with you. And I'm writing a book now, How to Live to 120 with another physician. But how do they get in touch with you? Because at this point, 100% of what you want to do is your professors come out again. You want to teach people so that when you leave in 30 years or 40 years, whatever it may be, there's a legacy, that there's somebody taking care of that extraordinary soil that you've cultivated over 54 years. That literally produces food that's it's explosively delicious and nutritious for you. And how do people get a hold of you? Especially, nobody just call as a hobby to bother this man. Call if you're sincere about dedicating your life to the future of soil, which is everything. It's 100% of everything. I mean, I'll never forget the founder of Hippocrates, Ann Wigmore, used to tell me how important worms were. And I sort of intellectually understood it, but I didn't believe it. I can tell you, I believe it now.
We wouldn't have any soil.
We wouldn't have any soil.
Their excretions are the basis of soil.
That's right. The bacteria we talked about. So how do they get a hold of you, Henning, if they're really serious, to get on a plane or a train or car and drive out and get on a ferry and come over to that beautiful Lopez Island that we've stayed on many, many weeks of our life now, and talk to Elizabeth and you about being the next generation to carry this essential work on? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, they could simply write me an email, Henning at sshomestead.org.
Okay, so let's slow. So Henning, H-E-N-N-I-N-G. Okay, at?
James Dorf. Henning at S.S. Homestead. The S.S. Stead stands for Simpson and Samestorf. So sshomestead.org.
Okay. And so...
It's that simple.
And, you know, the amazing part is you told us a story recently that you had a young, brilliant couple, highly educated, a doctoral couple. They came out all ready to go, and they wanted to get back to the earth, you know, all this, the hippie ideology about it. And what happened once they realized this is a real dedication and commitment? It's a vocation rather than an occupation. What happened to them?
Well, basically, they found that the farmer's life was too hard for them. they found it difficult to get up in the morning and do what was necessary. In other words, what the soil and the farm and the animals and the plants required of them.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Could you imagine your great grandfather saying, "Oh, it was too hard for me. Everyone would starve in the family."
Right. Well,
so that was the first thing. And the second thing is even more disconcerting to me personally, and that is, for them, any knowledge that was not accessible to them through their iPhone didn't exist. It wasn't valid.
Boy.
If I asked them, which I did, come up for a business plan, if I were to assign to you a 2-acre fence piece and you're going to grow vegetables there for your own risk and profit as a practice project so you can learn how to be small-scale vegetable producers, and I will provide you with the soil and the fencing and the water and the fertility and the machines and the tools and guidance. But you do this for your own risk and profit so that you can experience what it is to be a small-scale, self-sufficient farmer. Right. Come up with a work plan. And here are all the documents that I have from doing the same project with other people previously. Okay, now you come up with your own farm plan for next year.
And you're offering them, you gave them the keys to heaven. You gave them everything, the documents.
I gave them everything. And I said, this will not cost you anything. We will house you and feed you for 2 years, during which time you practice this. And then if you can do this successfully, then we will consider you as successors on the farm. Hmm. Okay? Now, you are educated people. One of you has a PhD. The other one has a degree from Cornell in ecological science. You know, you should be able to turn your smarts to this project. But they could not do it because what I asked them to do was not on their iPhone.
Wasn't on Google.
It wasn't on Google. They couldn't find it there.
If that's not a statement of our culture today, I can't, the epitome of our stereotypical culture.
And they struggled with this for about 3 weeks, and then they finally came to us and said, Henning and Elizabeth, we just can't do this. This is just too strange. This is too different. I can't put this into my worldview. Well, and I said, well, that's a very important recognition. You know, that's a very important insight.
I'm surprised they didn't expect, they send AI out and say AI could do this.
Yeah.
AI is not yet as much in the news as it is now.
Yes.
I think maybe they could have asked AI to do this job.
Better job than they did. They gave up.
Now, Henning, back to all the knowledge you have, how plants work together and how plants support each other, protect each other. And this is a knowledge that people don't have anymore. I mean, this can't die out because we won't survive.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Something we in the mainstream, we call a companion planting. So when you and Elizabeth and all of the wonderful helpers you had, when you're planting a garden, do you say, I want to put this plant next to that plant because of this reason?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, there's an excellent book written by John Jevons about 25 years ago called How to Grow More Vegetables Than You Ever Thought Possible on Much Less Land Than You Ever Imagined, something like that. It's got an impossibly long title. For short, just How to Grow More Vegetables by John Jevons, J-E-A-V-O-N-S. And he talks about that in great detail, how the exudates, in other words, substances exuded in the root systems of plants, either are complementary or they're antagonistic.
Oh, yes.
So he has outlined in great detail what plants you should be growing next to each other and what you should not. For instance, you should not grow onions next to your peas. Okay, they will interfere with each other.
Which I used to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You remember back in the 60s, was it the 60s, the Japanese guy, the one straw revolution? What do you think of where he said you can't even pull the weeds up. You let the weeds grow with the vegetables, and we did it, and the vegetables were stronger.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, they had to survive in competition with the weeds.
You got it.
Exactly.
You got it.
No
question about it. Well, this has been a remarkable conversation with one of the great farmers alive today, and I just can't believe that somebody out there in the world, hopefully somebody listening to us today, no matter where you're from, this for Americans, remember this. Matter of fact, two of the people speaking today are immigrants to this country. Henning is, and Anna Maria.
Yeah.
I'm the only natural born American, but I think I'm probably less American than these two people are. It's the great things that they've actually done for this country. And what Henning is talking about is the largest subject that is constantly on my shoulders. What's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. And we do see some promising activity out there where they're taking commercial farms and in a very short time because of new technology, converting them back to at least semi-organic forms, not biodynamic forms, but semi. And at least we're going to get some nutrients in the soil. When I was a kid, they used to teach us, and I used to do it, by the way, to plant in the spring and the autumn buckwheat and turn the buckwheat under to nourish it. That's a lost art.
Which we did this year also, yeah.
You do it too?
Yeah, we planted a whole field to buckwheat, and right now we're feeding it on the ground to our sheep, so they're fattening on the buckwheat.
Isn't that amazing?
They are ingesting the buckwheat, and then they're excreting, you know, what their bodies can use, which is about 98% of the nutrients. But these nutrients that come out of them in the form of excrement is now enhanced by all the digestive juices that are created in the process of mastication.
Yeah, the enzymes, which is electric. This is a connectivity.
Right.
So one,
they not only fatten on this buckwheat, but they are at the same time fertilizing the soil. This is a perfect example for the kind of cycle of life that we practice on the biodynamic farm. On the biodynamic farm,
You're a beautiful man, Elizabeth. A beautiful woman.
Yes.
What you've contributed to this country and humanity is beyond measurable. And I can ask you to say one last thing to all the listeners out there about the hope of our future.
You know, I'm surrounded by despair. Whenever I talk to people about climate change and about where our country is going, I mostly get a response of fear and doubt. It is very difficult for me, living on this farm, to share those feelings.
Yeah.
Because when I get up in the morning and I go out and milk the cow, and this life-giving substance comes out of this udder, and I drink it, and it is sweet, and it is satisfying, and it is wholesome, and it makes me feel strong. I find it extremely difficult to be depressed, or pessimistic, or despairing. And this is the real-life experience of what health is, that health is not only physical, but also mental, and not least spiritual.
God bless you.
This is what I'm trying to pass on to other people. We also want to pass on the farm to young people, and we don't need to sell it. We're perfectly happy to give it to the community for free, because we know how important it is that not only this community but other communities develop systems that are ultimately sustainable in this in today's world, which is not particularly sustainable as it is run.
That's right. Well, look, all three of us are going to make a pact that every couple of years we're going to have you back on.
Yes.
And we're going to keep talking to you for the next 30 to 40 years.
Yes.
And this has been a great, great time. Two segments that we've shared with people all over the world. And we want each and every one of you to become farmers of your own heart, farmers of your own soul. Have a level of principles and ethics and honor and respect for yourself and everything that we have so ingrained in who your persona is, what you are as a person, that life becomes simple once again, as Henning said. All of the problems of the world go away when you live simple and basic again. Till next week, be well.